has a Rav. David Cohen is.
He gives shiurim in person also.
Yeah, on Wayu Torah, he has shiurim on all these topics. There's so many. There are many rabbis named David Cohen.
That's why I asked.
There are many. There is in the world of Kashrut, there is one David Cohen. Huh?
No,
no, no. You're thinking about Gvul Yavetz, Rav David Cohen. No. In the world of Kashrus, there's a Rav David Cohen who used to be a Kashrut administrator at the OU.
This is the one I was into on Yainet.
Yes, exactly. He's in a Kashrut, he used to be a Kashrut administrator at the OU, which means that he hung out with Rav Shechter and Rav Belsky a ton. And for the past, I don't know, 15 or so years, he's been at the CRC in Chicago, where he hangs out with the great postgame in Chicago, like Rav Shmuel First and Rav Gedalia, Dov Schwartz, among others. So,
I've read his Insect book a lot.
Very good. Oh, yeah, so he has amazing books.
Insect and
Bishul. Insects. He has four books now. He has Tevilat Kelim, Bishul and Patakum. He has Insects, and he has on Shemitah. And
each, I didn't know
yeah, I just came out like a month ago. So he has books on all these topics, and I listen to his Shiurim on all the Avodah Zarah topics that I learn. On Yain Esef, he has fantastic Shiurim. On Tevilat Kelim, he has fantastic Shiurim. He doesn't just like tell you the Gemaras and the Shulchan Aruch. In the world of Kashrut, there's so many applications. Where can I take my Kelim? Can I use the river? Can I use the thing? You know, we're going to talk about many examples of Kelim that he has here in the book, which are fantastic. This is the book writer, David Cohen. Not everything I'm saying is from him, but a lot of it is in the book also. And there's a lot of stuff in Tevilat Kelim, which is a classic, Rav Moshe, Rav Ovadia, Minchat Yitzchak, that everybody quotes. But he does research and tries to give mahalchim. It's very, very interesting stuff. You can listen on Wayu Torah to all of his shiurim on these topics, on Tevilat Kelim, on Yain Nesach, so many good things. Amash, he and Rav Eli Gersten in the OU, currently has his old job in the OU, literally are such talmidei chachamim, and they apply your idea to so many modern day things. You know, all the modern day machinery, does it need Tevilat Kelim, how do you kasher these things? Rav David Cohen is very good at all of these topics, and he shares, and I email him with questions sometimes. He's very good. So I listen to this in the car as I come from the Heights to Great Neck. It's very kedai. If you can listen, you'll get such the oath out of the Hishurim. Baruch Hashem. So he gives a week this year. It's very good. Okay. So we're going to cover tonight, Be'ezrat Hashem, two major topics. The purpose of Tevilat Kelim, which we didn't get to last time, and then we're going to discuss what materials require Tevilat Kelim. We're going to discuss metals, glass, plastic, nylon, you know, aluminum. We're not discussing tonight disposables. We're not discussing tonight electronics. We're not discussing things that are too large. We're just discussing the actual materials of what requires Tevilat Kelim. That will lead us into a couple of different paths. We can either stop there, do ofen atzivila, such as the type of waters, mikvaot, mayanot, lakes, rivers, the Long Island Sound, to use, how to end the berachan, tzivila kelim, or we can continue with kelim, what types of kelim, what considers clay se'uda, things that you use for food, what types of kelim those are involved in, we'll figure out which pathway to take as Adashim, you know, either later tonight or over the course of the week, which one will be the next year, but tonight's goal is really just matarat atzivila, and the materials that are required to be that kelim, with a couple of tangents, but they're also very important halacha l'maaseh tangents. Be'ezrat Hashem, feel free to ask questions, and we will proceed. Okay, good. The purpose of Tevilat Kelim. Again, I use my laptop just because it makes things very easy to have my notes in front of me and to make sure I don't miss something. But if it bothers people, you know, I can reduce it also. Fine. Now, what is the purpose of Tevilat Kelim? Mishnah told me that the Braita said you buy kelim from non-Jews. You have to kasher them, and you have to take them to a mikveh of Arba'im Se'ah. The Gemara says, in order, kashering, and then a mikveh of Arba'im Se'ah. The Yerushalmi says the purpose of Tevilat Kelim, says the Yerushalmi, is to raise them, to uplift these Kelim from Tum'at HaGoyim to Kedushat Yisrael. In fact, the reason for Tevilat Kelim is further hammered out by the Sefer Isur Veheter HaAroch. The Sefer Isur Veheter, it sounds such a general name, like the Book of Kashrut. Yeah, it is a very general name, but throughout generations in Jewish communities, different posekim put out different books on the same topic, Hilchot Isur V'Heter. So each Rav wrote a sefer and called it Isur V'Heter, and you have the Isur V'Heter LePloni and the Isur V'Heter LeAlmoni. Classically, when we talk about kashrut, though, the Isur V'Heter HaAroch refers to none other than the Isur V'Heter HaAroch of Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi. Rabbeinu Yonah, there were many. There were many Rabbeinu Yonahs. The one that we always think about, especially this time of year during Sefirat HaOmer, is Rabbeinu Yonah Gerondi, from Gerona, who wrote the Sefer Sha'arei Teshuvah, who wrote the Sefer Rabbeinu Yonah and Pirkei Avot, who when we learn Berachot, we have the Shiurim written by his Talmidim in the back on the Rif, Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. And he was a character. He was the first Sfaradi to learn in an Ashkenazi Yeshiva and come back to a Sfaradi land and to share the wealth, share the models of thought and learning with his community. Starting with him and then the Ramban, you have the synthesis of a Sfaradi Derech HaLimud along with the Ashkenazi one put together, where you first talk about Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, and then you talk about the Rif and the Ramban and the Geonim, and you put it all together in this special synthesized model of learning. That was Rabbeinu Yonah Gerondi. He is not the author of the Sefer Yisur V'Heter. The Sefer Yisur V'Heter, Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi lived in the 12th century, 13th century, and the Sefer Yisur V'Heter, Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi lived in like the 14th, 15th century, like 100 or 200 years in between. But not everyone knows that. So in the old Yisur V'Heter, you find that they actually wrote, I don't think we have one here, but they actually wrote on the cover page, the Rabbeinu Yonah Gerondi. It's a mistake. Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi wrote the Sefer Yisur V'Heter. He says that it has nothing to do with removing the Isur, the Tam, the taste of Isur from these Kelim. Tevilat Kelim is not a matter of Tuman Ta'ara, it's not a matter of Tam Isur. It's a totally different plane of Kedusha. Just like when a non-Jew wants to come, Tachat Kanfei HaShechinah, he wants to join the fold of Judaism, he has to undergo a Gerut process and convert to Judaism, he has to go into a mikveh, so to a Kli, if a Kli wants to go from being under the auspices of non-Jews in their tum'ah, and he wants to join the fold of Judaism, being a Jewish Kli, he has to go to the mikveh. It has to go to the mikveh. It is Katshenu b'kedushato, Shneimar avdil etchem min ha'amim liot li, v'itkadishtem v'item kedoshim k'kadosh ani, ani Hashem Elokeichem, that Hashem chose us, hivdilanim min ha'toim, and even our kelim chadashim, the Gemara says, brand new kelim that were never used, in order for them to be permissible for us to use, have to go to the mikveh. So much so that the Gemara sounds like, first you do hechsher, and then you do tevila. You do hagalah, you do libun, whatever it is, and then you do the tevila. And there's a machloket harishonim. What happens if I didn't do hagalah first? You would think, so, you did tevila first, then you did hagalah. What's the big deal? So, no! Ever heard of the concept of tovel v'sheretz biado? Going to the mikveh holding a sheretz? Trying to do teshuvah without stopping, ceasing to do the avera, tovel v'sheretz biado. It's the same thing. If the non-Jewish kli still holds on to its tum'ah that's basically represented in the tam isur that's absorbed into the kli, then going to the mikveh is not going to help you, according to half the rishonim. In fact, so nishukana, if it's a brand new keli, you don't need hagala, you don't need to do hechsher. Some are machmir to do hechsher anyway. We don't necessarily, but in Shulchan Aruch it says you bought a used keli from a goy, because back then they didn't have mass production and everyone buying a new keli from Amazon every 5 minutes. You had a keli for 20 years, and then it broke, and you bought a new one from your neighbor who was done with his. So first you have to be machshir lechatechila, and then you do tevila. And the Maaseh B'diavad, we don't require it, but it's not Me'akev, but it is an important distinction to keep in mind. That was the purpose of Tevila Kelim, uplifting, converting from non-Jewish Tumah to Kedushat Yisrael. Kedushat was a finish off.
Is it the use by a Goy, or is it the Goy actually put his food on it?
Ownership. Ownership is all it takes.
Ownership. So a caterer that caters a Goy, goes at a party, he doesn't have to take the kelim to the mikveh after they use them.
Correct. He does not.
Not manufacturing.
Ownership.
Once you buy it, it transfers from the non-Jewish ownership to your ownership. That's when the chiyuv tevila comes into existence.
So if a Jew manufactures it, you don't have to tell them?
The Jew manufactures a kli, and he sells it to another Jew, it's fine. But if he sells it to a non-Jewish distributor who then sells it to you...
It's strictly ownership. Like, the Jew owns a company that manufactures in China, and there's all goys that actually handle the material. Is that still owned by a Jew?
We have to discuss what these poalim goyim, what do they do? We have to discuss. There's a major discussion about the different methods of transferring acquisitions, whether it be through a sale, through a working, you know, an employee.
Buys all the material, and the goy handle it.
Right, but the Gemara says in Bava Kama, Uman Kone B'Shevach Kli. When a goy works for you, he works on an item for you, he invests value into it that he owns. So when you pay him for it, you buy that value off of him. So it's a big discussion. When you hand a goy a whole slab of silver and you say, make me a pot, or a whole slab of steel and you say, make me a pot, what's the halakha for that pot? Does it need to be that? It's a big discussion. We're going to get to it. B'zad Hashem. But the bottom line is, purchasing anything, whoever made it, purchasing a kli from a goy requires to be like you. That's the bottom line. In terms of the chance, we'll have to discuss though. What about sechirut? You're renting it, you're borrowing it. We'll discuss all those things.
So it has no relation to usage? Like, even if a Jew owns whatever pottery or utensils or whatever, and they use it to eat non kosher food, even that wouldn't require to be
activated? Correct. You have to want to use it now in order to be required to do the tevila. If you can own, you know, warehouses and warehouses of stuff you're going to sell on Amazon, or never going to use in your life, and you don't have to take it to the mikveh, that's okay. But if you're going to use it, then you should take it to the mikveh for yourself.
We said if a Jew makes it, sells it to a goy, and then sells it to another Jew.
Chayav tefillah. Chayav tefillah.
It's on that. If a goy makes it, sells it to a Jew, he didn't do it, he gives it to another Jew. The second Jew has to do tefillah.
Yeah.
It's on the item itself, not on the Jew.
Correct. Uh-huh. Yeah. We're going to get to details, but yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. So we wouldn't know. We wouldn't know who's it transferring to, so we just need to just...
You're saying, how do I know? Maybe it's owned by the factory, it was owned by a Jew, maybe it wasn't owned by a Jew, maybe the Amazon seller is a Jewish one, maybe it's not. These are great, great questions. And we should say, Safik Rachot HaKel, don't say Berachana, right?
But it doesn't say anything about the ownership and the transfer of ownership in the Torah.
Correct.
It lists the materials like Zahav, and it goes down in Barzel, and it lists all the materials.
Right.
So technically... What difference would it make? Who owns it? Who doesn't own it?
Fantastic. The Gemara says, you have to have a purchase and kima'ase shehaya. Has to be follow the pattern of Milchemet Midian when they conquered the Midianim and they took possession of it. There is a pattern in halacha that was followed, that followed, that we're gonna be able to a denominator pattern to pull out of there and use that pattern to judge every case of transaction that follows. B'ezrat Hashem. So that itself is going to be a whole shiur. Transactions to purchase kelim, because it makes a big difference how to do it, and you know when you're chayav, when you're not chayav, what the purpose of it was or not. That'll follow after we discuss what kelim are chayav. I mean, what purposes those kelim serve to be chayav, we'll discuss the transactions that produce the chiyuv, precipitate the chiyuv, Ezad Hashem. But now we're going to discuss the materials themselves. We learned last week the parasha. We just looked in the Pesukim last time. The Gemara says, and if you guys look in the source, if you want, you don't have to. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah says that Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef Zavan Mana de Marda. He bought a mud kli. A mud kli. From Me'ovei Kochavim. From a goy. It was the first line in the Gemara in the source sheet. So, Savar Lahatvila. He thought, maybe I should take it to the mikveh. Amar Le Humar Banan Rabbi Yaakov Shemeh. Rabbi Yaakov told him. I heard this from Rabbi Yochanan. The following, that kelei matechot amurim baparasha. The Torah only delineates metal kelim. We learned last week, I forgot to put it on this week's source sheet. We learned last week, the Pasuk says, achet azaha, vera kase, vera bedil, vera ofar, vera ofar, it's the last one. What's the middle one?
Bedil.
Zahav, chasef, nechoshet, bedil. And then one more in ofaret, no? What was it? I forgot already? Okay, 1 second. Let's open it. Zahav, nechoshet, barzel. There you go. Barzel and bedil and ofaret. Those things are 6 metals that are outlined in the Torah. Only metals are in the Torah. Therefore, non-metals, such as mud, kelim, don't have to take it to the mikveh. What he was thinking is a conversation for another time. Rav Zabit Cohen has a whole paragraph on what he was thinking. You know, don't you know? He didn't grow up taking things to the mikveh. Okay, we'll have to discuss. Bezat Hashem. Maybe we'll get to it, maybe we won't. Okay.
Mud Kaelin is considered China?
No. Mud Kaelin is made literally out of mud and dung.
Huh.
We'll get to China also, Bezat Hashem. But yeah.
How can you make a bracha on glass?
Amar Rav Ashay. Gemara says, Hane kelei zechuchit. You have glass kelim. Ho'il v'chi nishtaberu. Yesh lahen takana. Since if glass breaks, it can be melted down and reformed, just like metal kelim can. Midrabanan ki klei matechot damu. They're just like...
They have the same characteristic, correct? Minatora metals, let's just say Minatora for now. Midrabanan, we say Berachot also, the Tassur, but the Rabbanan, so there is a Svara on the Ritba, like you're saying, but we don't accept that Svara on the Ritba, but very good, you're Mechaven to the Ritba, we'll get there, Rizal Hashem, we'll get there. And when we talk about the Beracha, exactly the story you're using will become a very peculiar, somewhat stunning line in the Ritva. But in the meantime, let's assume Tevilat Kelim is Deoraita. We discussed whether it is or not last time. We don't have to get into it again right now, but we will literally every other sentence be discussing Deoraita Derabanan. But for the sake of comparison, Tevilat Kelim is Deoraita. It's the main function, main Isur. But that's only by metals. Glass is similar to metals. Glass has a couple of interesting aspects to it. It is, in some ways, it is similar to metal, and in other ways, it is similar to klei cheres, to pottery. Klei cheres is not metal, so it's obviously excluded from the mitzvah of tevilat kelim. If you have a kli that's totally pottery, totally ceramic, we're going to discuss China b'ezrat Hashem soon at the end, hopefully. But if you have a totally ceramic kli, patur min hatevilah, min haTorah midrabanan. But glass is similar to metal. Because glass, in this way, this part, its dual nature lends itself, at least in this sense.
And on the flip side, has a problem with
chametz. Glass does not have a problem with chametz.
No, yeah, but pottery, whatever.
But pottery does have a problem with chametz, because bolea, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Glass is not bolea, pottery is bolea. Right, so glass, since it can be melted down and reconstituted just like metal can, midrabanan, they said that it should also be chayav etzvilat kelim, just like metals. But there is a Gemara in Shabbat where it discusses the sugyot of Tumah and Tahorah and Daf Tet Zayin, or Tet Vav, I believe it's Tet Zayin. The Gemara there says that glass kelim are mikabel Tumah just like kelei cheres, like pottery ones. There's a whole distinction of inside versus outside when it comes to how these things can become Tameh. We're not going to get into it now, but it can become Tameh just like pottery. So the Gemara there compares glass to pottery. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Ayin Ham would bet here compares them to metal. The Meiri says, isn't it a stira? Is it like metal or is it like pottery? Over there it's like pottery because it's made of sand. It comes from the earth, just like pottery does. Here it's like metal because it breaks, you can reconstitute it just like metal. So the Meiri seems to think it's a, quotes those who think it's a satira, maybe it's the Ravad, and then he rejects it. And in fact, Rov HaPoskim don't see this as a contradiction at all. It's just two different aspects.
One is
Tumah and Tahorah. For Tumah and Tahorah purposes, if it's like Klei Cheres, like pottery, then has the halachot of pottery. And for Tevilat Kelim purposes, if it's like metal, so then it's like metal. Yichayav etzvila, just like metal. Those are two different aspects of glass. This idea that glass is chayav, I told you is midrabanan. I should at least tell you, though, that there are those who think that glass is min haTorah, not midrabanan. The Darkei Teshuvah, the Munkacher Rebbe, current Munkacher Rebbe, had a grandfather who was Minchas Elazar. He had a father who wrote the Sefer Darkei Teshuvah, Darkei Tshuva. So I want to say like a Minkacher. So, excuse the Havara. Darkei Teshuvah is like, basically, like a Sha'arei Teshuvah on Yoreh Deah. It tells you all the Shitot. It was a whole project, like an encyclopedia on Yoreh Deah. So what he does, he quotes those who hold that it's Deoraita, but Rov HaPosekim disagree with that, and they all assume that glass is Midrabanan. So therefore, Whatever you say by metals, it doesn't matter. But glass is derabanan, which therefore, whenever you have a safek ledina, should I be matu my kelim or not? A ger converts, and does he have to be matu all over his kelim or not? Is it a safek if this transaction is chayev or not? All these different svekot, poskim say, glass, don't worry about it. Don't take it at all. Metals, take it without a beracha. But glass, don't worry about it at all. It's okay. That's an important distinction to keep in mind, because we hold that glass is derabanan halacha lema'aseh.
So safek, you wouldn't make a beracha on glass.
Safek, don't say a beracha on metal.
Metal.
And glass, don't bother.
Oh, you don't even bother. Take it.
The whole thing is a derabanan in the first place. Ah. But whereas metal's probably the right to take it. Possibly, we'll see. But glass, yeah.
If I have painted metal or painted glass, ooh.
What about different layers on top? Different layers on top.
That's
yeah.
The whole China.
That's the whole China question. That's what we're going to discuss with Zashem. Composites. Composites is an important question. Zashem, the end of tonight's year, hopefully, because Zashem we'll touch on it. There's more to the topic. We'll touch on it for tonight, and we'll fill in the rest later. Zashem, when you have kelim that are made of primary, there's a bowl of metal and it's held up by wood, or there's a bowl of wood held up by metal. What happens when you have more than one thing going on in there? But now, we said there's no steer between the two Gemaras. Glass has different aspects to it, fine. And this is true by all glass. Pyrex and Duralex are also glass. They're just, instead of being made with silicate sand, they're made with borosilicate sand. Ayin, Rabbi Wikipedia, for all the halachot of how to make glass and different types of glass. But for halachic purposes, we hold 100%. It's out of safek. Pyrex and Duralex and all the other X's made by all the different companies are 100% glass. Good. Now enters the interesting questions. How many of us sit there with tin kelim? How many of us sit there with steel kelim? How many, or Gemara doesn't talk about steel, it says zahav chesef. No, how many of us use those? Maybe use a silver cup for Shabbat. But when most of your cooking is not happening, maybe Teflon's not even steel, stainless steel pots, okay, or aluminum. Is aluminum one of, aluminum pans, all the different aluminum things that you use for your cooking purposes, aluminum is not one of the metals in the Gemara, in the Pasuk. The Vilna Gaon says, and it's quoted by the Tiferet Yisrael on Mishnayot, in Kelim, Vilna Gaon says that al pi halacha, there are only six metals. Zahav, Chesef, Nechoshet, Barzel, Bedil, and Ofaret. It's gold, silver, copper, iron, tin, and lead. That's it. Nothing else in the Torah. Halacha l'maaseh, what does that mean? With respect to Tumah and Tahorah, if it's not a metal, it might not be Mekabel Tumah. And with respect to Tevilat Kelim, it might not be Chayav. And Tevilat Kelim.
Why would it be?
There are some, if it's not going to be Kli Cheres, and it's not going to be Kli Zechuchit, and it's not going to be Kli Yetz, it's just Kli Adamar, not Mekabel Tumah. Right. What else
said,
is there?
Okay. Now you said Kli'et.
Yeah. So what else is it? What else is aluminum going to be? So we'll discuss. So discuss. Is that a shen?
So stainless steel, aluminum.
So stainless steel is primarily a composite of iron and carbon, right? And then regular steel is also iron and carbon, just a different ratio. Bronze is a composite of tin and copper.
But they're all metals.
They're all metals, and they're just composites of them. Yeah. Either way, you always have rov, if not 100%, a Torah-level metal. But what about when things get more complicated?
Aluminum is also metal?
Aluminum is on the periodic table,
so is it metal?
But it's not in the Torah. Is this list in the Torah, Davka, six metals? Vilna Gaon says it is. Or maybe some say no. The Tiferet Yisrael thinks not like the Vilna Gaon. He says the Vilna Gaon says there are only six metals. What are you talking about? It's six examples of what they found when they conquered Midian.
So why six examples?
Why
six examples?
That's what they found. That's what they had in Midian. They didn't have other things. Well, okay, whatever you have, you have. Those things. So then you have to sit and figure out, well, what's called a metal. What are the aspects of metal?
What about ceramic?
Ceramic is clay adamah.
A lot of cooking dishes, but
it
doesn't scratch Teflon.
Right.
You were talking about
plastic. Right, right.
So ceramic is something you need to
tovel? No, ceramics, pure ceramics, no. It's just going to be clay ferris. Teflon is a coating, we'll discuss, but it's Adisham.
Right.
But
a lot of times alloys and like alloys. Compounds that involve
so if it's
metal.
So steel is a compound, but or steel is an alloy. I'm sorry, and but it's rove, not 100% copper and is iron and carbon. So it's rove is going to be metal. So chayav in tevila. But we have to discuss other things that are either compounds or the like. What about just pure aluminum? All these other metals on the periodic table, I don't remember how many there are anymore, but that whole middle section, Chazal didn't talk about. So we have to figure out, aluminum is one of the big ones. How do we paskin when it comes to metals that are not mentioned in the Torah? Some say...
No one uses, like, aluminum like pots and pans.
Use an aluminum pan to make your chicken for Shabbat.
And trays.
It's disposable, it's like...
So we'll discuss the disposable aspect.
According to a person's kashpon, it's like plastic. So
maybe plastic is also chayiv tefila. I'm getting there too. But I dafka don't want to discuss the disposable aspect. Let's say I had something that was such strong aluminum, you're going to keep on using it forever. Let's say you had something that was made out of aluminum, 90% and 10% tin.
The strength it doesn't retain heat. It's worthless. I mean, if you don't have an aluminum pot, it doesn't retain heat.
Right.
That's why people make stuff out of aluminum.
What if you're poor? Also, okay, I discuss disposables. We'll talk about. Let's say I gave you an aluminum kli that is totally not disposable. Let's say, or I had another metal on the periodic table that was super strong, and they discovered that they do this with it, and it's great. Why not just use one of those? Good. Disposable is a fantastic question. We have to do more work on that, and it's not going to fit into this tonight's shiur.
All these things are here are made out of aluminum, so they're not necessarily disposable.
Aluminum pans are not disposable. Frying pans. Some people would tell you they are disposable. It depends which mother you ask. but once it gets a scratch, you got to throw it away anyway. It's not like it's a... But we'll discuss. Good. So that's probably more of a cleave, and according to disposable people, that's definitely a cleave. So we have to discuss what's halacha for aluminum. So one more time, if you want to say all metals are chayav mina Torah, you have to say that the list is lav davka, or that there's something about each of these things on the list that helps you define metals, and these are categories. You know, like Rav Sadia Gaon says that the Aseret HaDibrot are categories for all 613 mitzvot, or you can look in that type of thing. Six metals are categories, or it was lav davka. That's just what they found. That's if you want to say that all metals are d'oraita. If you want to say all metals are Dirabanan, though, it's much more fun. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a landmark teshuvah. Rav Moshe has a number of landmark teshuvot on the topic of Tevilat Kelim. Really amazing stuff. He says, we told you there are two aspects to glass, right? When it comes to glass, it is meltable to be reconstituted like metal, and it is also from the ground like cheres, right? Aluminum is also meltable. Just like all the other metals. Mina Torah, it's not metal. But because it bears that aspect of being reconstitutable, it falls under the same Gezerah Midrabanan of glass. Now, that was crazy. Because Moshe says, at the same time, it's not from the ground. So it doesn't have the Gezerah Midrabanan of Tuma. And it's not metal. So it doesn't have tumat klei matechot either. That means it's not mekabel tumat.
How can it not be from the ground? You got it from the ground.
It's not adama. I don't know. I'm not sure. How do you define adama versus other things that you find in the ground? I don't know. But it's not klei adama, it's not klei cheres, it's not klei matechot, it's not mekabel tumat, Rav Moshe says. You know, some people out there have a special aspect to them. That they have a special kiddushah to them. They are kohanim. They have to be super careful wherever they go not to become tamimate. Flying to Eretz Yisrael, you almost always have in the cargo somebody who's going to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. If you hold that I'm not to get too complicated in Hilchot Ohalot, but if you hold that the plane is in Ohel while it's moving in Ohel Zaruk, that it's a Meviyat HaTum'ah, anything that's underneath it shoots up and then is brought throughout, distributed throughout the Ohel, then it is Asur Min HaTorah for a Kohen to fly from JFK to Tel Aviv. Isn't that a problem? So Moshe says, have you ever flown on a 747 before? I'm not someone who cares about planes, but it matters here. A 747 has an aluminum chassis. It's purely aluminum. That thing is not mekabel tumas tzrif moshe. And therefore, as long as you're not sitting on top of the of the cargo area where the mate is, mutar. You can fly in the elal flame. Here's a mash, you're not near it. It's not relevant. 787, I think, is a composite of various things. You have to go Google it. I don't know what it's made of.
You gotta start walking.
But I think they retired the last 747 very recently also, so you might have a problem.
Oh.
But I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying. These are important questions that people have to deal with. You might be flying in a plastic bag one day, like some people do on planes. You never seen this? A plastic bag? So Google it. I'm sure you'll find plenty of Chilul Hashem pictures of plastic bags on planes.
I need to do when I drive sometimes. But...
Oh, driving is also a problem. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe QE? I don't know. Ezra lives in Brooklyn. He knows more places in Brooklyn.
Drive to sandwich bar.
Some places in Brooklyn.
No,
or
some places in Brooklyn, like Clinton Hills.
There's a problem. And you drive to Brooklyn a lot. So this issue, Rav Moshe says, has ramifications level d'oraita, this Tishu B'Av Rav Moshe. In terms of whether or not...
Is it assumed that these metals from the Torah are supposed to be in Kabbalah Tuma also? Is there like a pre-assumption?
It falls under the halachot of metals. Everything that comes with being a metal.
So aluminum would be unique that it's distinct from these metals, but yet they're also similar.
Midrabanan for Tevilat Kelim, yes. Midrabanan for Tumat, oh hell no.
Oh, so it would be, according to Rav Moshe Weinstein, Midrabanan, the aluminum.
It's not Tameh at all. It's not Tameh.
No, I'm talking about Tefillah.
For Tefillah Kelim, aluminum is Chayav Midrabanan.
Midrabanan,
yeah. And I'll tell you, RBH also, Chacham Ben Chaim also holds like this of Moshe Feinstein Teshuvah, I believe. I was listening to Shir. I even wrote it down. Let me just double check. RBH holds like Rav Moshe. Yeah.
Why would it be Midrabanan if he's comparing it to the Torah ones? If he's saying it's just like the ones in the Torah? Just because it's not mentioned in Forash?
It's not mentioned in Forash. Nothing other than the six that I mentioned in Forash and Torah are metals.
If we hold, according to opinions, that Tefillah Kelim is Darabanan, and then glass is Darabanan, and Gezerah?
No. No, it's all part of the same Gezerah Darabanan.
Uh-huh.
All one big Darabanan.
So any metal that's not listed here is Darabanan?
Yeah, according to
platinum.
Yeah, chromium. I mentioned them, they're all, according to Moshe Feinstein, Darabanan. All of them. It's a major, major chidush.
Stainless steel falls under this one?
Stainless steel is just iron. It's just iron and carbon.
So, we don't...
So, it's chayav and it's a bit minatora.
Gold is
minatora, yeah. But gold, I'm not in the jewelry business. I know a little bit, though. 24 karat gold is pure, right? Rose gold is not pure, that's why it has a different color. It's 18 or 14, or 18 or 16 carats, and they just mix in other things. That's why you can have white, rose, and something else that looks yellow. It's because they mix in silver, pewter, copper... And other things that change the color, and you're like, oh, beautiful, right? It's just cheaper, right? It's all about the chemistry. So rose gold, even those, rose gold, that ring that you buy, if you were going to eat with it, which you won't, but if you buy a rose gold keli, it's more than 50% gold. Oh. So if it was going to be used for eating, it would be chayav etmila.
Let's start using plastic.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in a second, yeah. Right. It's called the Ma'amid. We'll talk about Ma'amid Be'ezat Hashem either next week or a later point.
So
the bottom line is no. But yeah,
has to be 50% of a gold.
Right.
Or another one.
Assumption is rov of a Torah level metal is what it takes to be chayav in tefillah. So that's the assumption. Yeah. Good? That was glass. Let's move on to plastic and nylon, and hopefully we'll finish with China tonight, Be'ezat Hashem. If not, it'll be next time. Either way, it can go into either shiur. It's okay. Plastic and nylon. Right? Nylon does not just mean nylon like strips and clothing. It means, you know, like the stirring equipment that you use to cook your pastas and your spatulas or whatever. Those are also made out of nylon. Silicon, nylon, same thing, yeah. All those things. I told you that the reason why glass is chayav in tefillah midrabanan is because you can melt it down and reconstitute it, right?
Right.
So that's why aluminum and other metals also, same thing, melt it down and reconstitute it. What's the deal with plastic?
Yeah.
You can melt it down and redo it, right? Oh. Was plastic chayav in tefillah kelim?
Plastic can be redone?
Yeah, just melts. You ever put plastic next to a candle? It melts.
Nothing for nothing.
And then if you put it in a thing,
in a mold,
you can make it more. Right, so the Mincha Yitzchak, Diane Weiss, actually holds in an early teshuvah, in Chelek Aleph of Mincha Yitzchak, that plastic is chayev in Tevilat Keli. And Rav Avadia goes to town and says, excuse me, can anyone say why would you not be gozer on plastic? Huh? It didn't exist, and therefore, ain gozrin gezerot midatenu. We are not chazal. We don't make up our own gezerot. They didn't have plastic. They didn't put it in the gezerot. Goodbye. Even if it comes up later, you're not allowed to put it in. Who said you are? You don't have the power to make a takana. So the response is no. When they said glass is chayav in tefilat keli, they said that anything that has this characteristic, whatever it is, we don't have to know about it right now. If it can be melted down and reconstituted into a kli, chayav in tefilat keli, whether that be glass, aluminum, other metals, or plastic, as long as you can melt it and redo it, that's going to be chayav in tefilat keli. So earlier on, Mincha Yitzchak held like this. After Rav Avadia wrote his teshuvah, the Mincha Yitzchak copied the whole thing into a teshuvah, quoting Rav Avadia, said, I take it back. Chozer bo, because of Rav Avadia's teshuvah.
So, any synthetic man-made material can't be considered?
Correct. Patur min atzila.
Mamash said
mamash. And I have a problem for this, though.
Well,
Rav David Cohen has a problem. Rav Avadia says, and Mincha Yitzchak agrees, that Tevilat Kelim cannot be applied to things that didn't exist in the times of the Chachamim. Only glass. Who just violated that rule? But Moshe Feinstein. He just made all the other metals chayav in tefillah because of his svara, that it's just like glass. So Rav David Cohen did a lot of research, and he saved us a lot of time, because now he did the research for us. And he asked around in the family, and he did some research, and he found that there was a Torah Lehora'a journal put out by Yeshivat Misifta Tiferes Yerushalayim, MTJ, Rav Moshe's yeshiva. Volume 1 has the teshuvah about glass. Volume 2 has a teshuvah about plastic. But Rav Moshe says, according to my svara, you should be chayav in tevilat kelim for plastic kelim, but it's not. Because draw concentric circles. The middle is metal. The 6 metals in the Torah. Out here, 2 steps away, is glass. In the middle of that, 1 step away from the middle, are other metals. The 6 metals in the Torah, other metals, and then glass. Outside of that is plastic and other synthetic things. When the Chachamim said that you go from 6 metals to glass, they include everything in between. That's all part of the Takanat Chachamim. Whatever you find that fits in between metals and glass, even other metals, Chayav in Tevilat Kelim. But beyond that, outside of the radius of glass, such as plastic and nylon, patur. That's what Moshe's massive chidush. According to his own chidush, that his mahalach that he gave us before with aluminum, pushes it further. It says it works even for plastic. That plastic is still patur, even according to my mahalach. That was a great find.
What about those like foam cups with the foam made out of?
Styrofoam, probably totally synthetic. Yeah. And it's also disposable, but we'll get to disposable also. But yeah, totally synthetic. I think. I don't know, can you melt styrofoam now? Everyone hates styrofoam when you break it apart.
Right. Pretty sure it's toxic.
Okay, so you know, it's not happening. Okay, it's not happening. That's the halacha by plastic. Just today, my wife opened up a package of like stirring utensils, and she's like, "Does this need to be that keli?" I'm like, "It says nylon on the box. Touch it. It's nylon." See, that's nylon? Yeah, that's nylon.
Rubber, what kind is it?
I think same thing. It's plastic, rubber. It's all synthetic stuff. It's all plastic. Yeah.
What if the keli is made out of food?
Oh, that's we'll discuss. It's Adashan. That's the raya Rav Moshe has for disposables being patur. Mm-hmm. We made in keli about a keli made out of food. Chazak v'ra. He told us a little shit. Okay. Let's see if everyone agrees to it or not. There's Adashan. Now, just to finish off, I didn't even use the Mekorot sheet recently, but let's look inside. Let's see, Sif Aleph in Shulchan Aruch HaKoneh Meha'ove Kochavim Klei Seudah. Person who purchases, we'll discuss what it means. Klei Seudah is materials used for food, kelim used for food. Shel matechot, if it's made of metal, I don't know where the tafwet went, whatever. O shel zichuchit, or it's made out of glass. O, now this is the interesting thing. Kelim hamitzupim be'avar. This is what we didn't discuss yet. Take a step back. By the way, before we take the step back, the Shut Igra Moshe is what I told you about aluminum. And the Shut Yechavedat is about plastic. If you want to look further, that those things follow. If you want to take a look afterwards. Now take a step back to the Gemara. Look at the third line in the Gemara, and we'll have to end with this for tonight. Kunya. Kunya means, it's machloket, but let's just say for now, means you have a earthenware ceramic kli, pottery. And you took it and you dunked it in a bucket of lead, molten lead. You basically added a layer of coating of lead all around your kli. I'm telling you one definition, subject to change. But just to...
This is China.
China is not so thick. That's the bottom line. But kunya, for now, it's a thick layer of lead all around the kli. Peligi barav achav ravina. So machloket in the Amoraim. Chad amar kitchilato. Originally it was kli cheres. It was pottery patur. Chad amar kisovo. The other one says you go by the end. The end's covered in metal. Metal is chayven tfilakim. It's covered in lead. Hilchata kisovo. Halacha is you go by the bottom line. The end of the story is that it's a metal kli. Because the thick layer on the outside is also a kli.
Oh, wow.
So it says in Shulchan Aruch, Kelim hametzupim be'avar, it's coated in lead, mi bifnim. That's a big machloket. Where is the lead? Is it only on the outside? Is it also on the inside? Is it both? Is it one or the other? So Shulchan Aruch holds, if it's mi bifnim, it's on the inside, av of yishem chadashim, even though they're brand new and never used, don't have any biliyot, whatever, sarich lat bilam, b'mikveh o mayan shel arbaim sa'ah. You have a mikveh or mayan, 40 sa'ah. If as long as it's mitzupe on the inside, it's covered, coated on the inside, Chayavin Tzividat Kelim says, the Shulchan Aruch, Hagad, the Ramah disagrees. He says, Yesh Omerim, the Kelim ha-mitzupim be'avar, afilu bifnim yitbo b'lo b'rachai. He says, some say, even if it has inside, because there's a machloket on inside, outside, whatever, you should never say b'racha, when you have a coating of metal, v'chein o'agin, that is the minag of the Ramah. We'll have to discuss at further length next time, what's the deal with China? Because China has a coating of glass. So we'll have to discuss Beis Hashem next time. It's 9:45. I'll have to pause here. But we'll discuss China, and then maybe we'll finish off with the Ma'amid question that Rabbi Ariel asked. We have a composite of different materials in the Kli that are all coming together, but separately. It's not a mesh of things. You have metals all compounded together, but you have different things attached to another. What's the halakha? It's similar to this question of a coating, but we'll have to discuss. You have a metal kli with a wood base, or the other way around. What's the halakha in all those cases? Be'ezrat Hashem next week, and hopefully we'll make sure to get Klei Seudayin as well. Okay. Questions, please.
Yeah, question.
I prayed Arvid already, so I don't have to run.
If you had, we said if it's...
Sorry, Ariel, it's 9:46. I apologize. I know you have to run. Go.
It's a composite, we said, and it goes... one of the metals, you
correct.
Have
within one item, one material, you go by the rule.
So what if it was, let's say, 40% something that was put towards, like nylon, and then 30% tin, 30% gold? Does it start to be 60% right, though?
You're asking me about Mishnah within Orla right now. But I'm assuming the answer is yes.
Okay.
I'm assuming, I think it has a shame matechot, I assume. But you have to look in Hilchot Tuman Taura. What, even though this is not dependent on Tuman Taura, these halachot, there are a lot of dinim that are borrowed. So I assume, I might be wrong on this one, I assume if you look in Masachet Kelim and you look for the perek that talks about composites of different metals, you know, shiurim and the like, what you would find an answer over there. Sigmar and Shabbat and Aftet Zayin, we spoke about Ma'amid, that also is going to be relevant. But I assume the answer is yes. You're chayv tefillah. But this is such a topic. There's so much information here to talk about. What we cover tonight is what material, first of all, purpose is converting the kli from non-Jewish to Jewish, right? We convert our kelim also, not just, you know, each other. But some kelim, you know, black hat, some don't, whatever, okay? And then we discussed what materials are chayav. Metals are probably min ha-Torah. Glass is midrabbanan because it's similar to metals. Other metals that are not listed in the Torah, smachloket deoraita or derabanan, Rav Moshe holds the Rabbanon, it's the popular shita. And plastic and nylon, by the way, and plastic and nylon are piturim because they are not metals and they're not glass and they're not part of the gezerah. Because who in the world do you think you are, says Rav Adya, to start creating gezerot? We said that you could argue that it's these are categories, these are ideas. As long as it has this, it would be included. But even Rav Moshe, who is, does that for other metals, doesn't do it for plastic explicitly. He doesn't do it for plastic. And we ended off talking about kunya, the coating that comes on. We're going to have to discuss later, Be'ezad Hashem, the halacha of kunya, and that'll lead us into, Be'ezad Hashem, next time, ma'amid, when one piece holds up another. It makes it into a kli, such as if I have a hole in the bottom of my cup. My cup is made out of glass. My cup is made out of wood. And I fill it in with metal. Does that, is that mechayevit in tevila? Because it's ma'amid, and hakol holecha achar ha-ma'amid. Or maybe you don't care about ma'amid, you go by rov or the like.
Bottom line.
We got to. Is that a shame? And then we had to talk about ikar and tafel. Things that are part plastic, part wood, part metal. What's the ikar? Not within one material, but within things that are all part of one kli together.
A blender.
A blender, a toaster, a Keurig machine, all these different things are important, ikar and tafel. And then once we're done with that, we can discuss klei se'uda. What does it mean that I use this thing for food? Serving, cooking, peeling, opening a can, nuts. And that's going to be a million examples. We're going to have to stop eventually because there's too many examples. Ayin Sham. There's too many. But it's important to know. This book is very Ashki. There are a lot of things that because of different shitot of the Rishonim.
He does.
But you have to understand, Rav Shachter and Ravelsky are going to go for the Isser V'Heter Schumra about using something sometimes, Derech Arai, and not Rov Tash Bisho, of the Pri Chadash, which is going to be Machayev so many other things in Tevilat Kelim. So you have to keep in mind, what are some parameters that we have to keep in mind that won't necessarily require things to have Tevilat Kelim. Once you know what's Chayev in Tevilat, then we can just start discussing, you know, the procedures of purchasing and the like, different kinyanim, different acquisitions, what will be Mechayev you, and then we'll end. I have to mention at one point the waters that are chayav in tefillah kelim, a mikveh, a mali, a river, a lake.
Also.
Huh? So, and then the last thing is, what happens if tefillah is impossible because the mikveh is unavailable or because the kli is impossible?
We just had the situation, right?
That's going to be the last thing because it depends on so many things. Depends on the material. Depends on what type of kli it is. It depends on how you're getting it from the goy and the like. So many different things go into that. I know it's the juiciest. But there's a reason why it's the juiciest. It depends on everything we're going to talk about.
Well, let's say someone has a cast iron skillet they want to do. The cast iron touches water, within 30 seconds, there'll be rust on it. And the only way to do it is to season it. It's to put oil on it, heat it, so the pores have it actually open up and the oil soaks in. And it's called seasoned cast iron. Some of these cast iron pans, it's the good ones, like the French ones, $200 for a frying pan.
Really?
It's crazy.
Really?
And if it's seasoned, like let's say they pre-season with the soybean oil, can you even dip that?
That's a great question. I don't know.
If Moshe finds it, says it has a plug, you don't have to dip it now.
Moshe has a chidush by plugs. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Let's say the place comes from a place where the road is around, like a river. No.
Oh, we really use your help, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone wants to stay up and help make a minyan?
Yeah, I'll come. All right, how many do you need?
Well, he's number six who didn't pray, so we need four who did pray.
Wow,
so,
okay, fine.
I'll help.
All right.
Question for Rocky.
Yeah.
Does he mention Rosh Chapter's Kula, Rosh Chapter's Kiddush about that a corporation is not an individual?
Right.
Does he bring it?
I didn't get there yet.
Okay.
I assume so. He...
So if something is owned through a corporation, it's too complicated.
Gotta get there. Is that Hashem?
How would that work?
This is hardcore choshen mishpat.
How would that work? Whether you said the pola might have an ownership.
How does Rav Chavis not hold by that? We'll get there. Shulchan Aruch can hold of it. Doesn't matter.
So
it's important to know though. Other than being bava kama, it's an important din to know about.
Also. We don't know about it.
No. Okay, but there are those in the Ashkenazi and Machmir for it, so you have to...
See, one of the good things that came out of living at YU, if I didn't live at YU with the sponsor, well,
you wouldn't have known that. Yeah, no, it's so great. Rabbi David Cohen is awesome.
This is also...
You've never been? I'm not sure, you know, you can't go... You can't can't call yourself a Jew.
Yeah, really.
How do you buy Sfarim? How do you buy Sfarim?
It's very geschmack.
How do you buy Sfarim? It's I literally walk in every year.
You see people going on like dates with their wives, like.
Yeah,
their
wives.
They
meet their wives. One dates
their
wives.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know.
Wow, no, lately I've been telling my wife.
I'll go like an hour or two every day.
Yeah. Call so much.
I always order from Judaica of Lakewood. I'm like friends with the manager.
Yeah.
I get
swine
for such a
good
price.
Baruch Hashem.
I go to Mosman and Barabak. He'll beat any price that you can get.
Really?
That you can get.
Oh, he has them shipped straight from the manufacturer. No tax, free shipping, good price.
Wow.
Yeah,
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
I send to my in-laws in Passaic to beat the tax, and then shipping depends
nice.
Where I'm getting it from. Is
nice, nice.
But
yeah.
the why you farm sale? This is great. I literally walk in there like the past few years and tell my wife I have so much already, Baruch Hashem. I don't know what I'm going to buy. You get like one or two things just for fun.
Like,
fine,
so just
and then I end up spending like hundreds of dollars. It's not crazy.
I buy triple the sparring for my son than I do for myself. Like, books for him. I buy like anytime my wife and I go to like anywhere like Judaica and 5,000 if we get to go to Judaica place.
Judaica Plus.
Yeah, Judaica Plus, yeah. I'm either like 10 books for